Thank you, Tiffany. My, my, what a wonderful thing to sing about. Amen. I want you to open your Bibles this morning to the book of Hebrews. I'm not going to the traditional place as we get close to Christmas. I'll leave that for next week maybe, and maybe even teach some in Sunday school. I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 1, and we'll still be dealing pretty much with the same subject. Hebrews chapter 1, we're going to read the first three verses. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit on the subject this morning. Christmas is in the air. We see the decorations. We got everything but the snow, I guess. And we got the traffic, that's for sure. And got a lot of things that remind us of it. I'm hoping your family is coming. We have a lot more folks seemingly leaving this time of year. Our family's trying to get here, and so we're hoping they make it. And that's the best part, I guess, one of the best parts about it. And how many of you remember on Christmas trying to catch Santa Claus? Anybody ever try to spy and catch Santa? Oh, come on, you ought to had a whole bunch of hands. You afraid he won't bring anything now? Is that what it is? Now, I sure set traps for him and everything else when I was a kid. Good thing I didn't catch him or my uncle would have been in the hospital, amen. All right, go over to Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. There's some things I want you to get. Jesus speaks in the Bible many times, speaks of his coming, speaks of who he is. And this tells us he's the brightness of God's glory, of his glory, and the express image of his person. You know, somebody says, what's God like? Well, look and see what Jesus is like. That's the answer. Jesus said, if you've seen me, John 14:9 said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And you know, I want to say just a little bit about that today. Why did Jesus come? We say he's the reason for the season. All that is good. But really, why did he come? He came, number one, to reveal God to man. Now, you need to understand something. All the human race knows there's a God. They're mixed up on who he is. You read Acts 17 and you find where the Apostle Paul went into Athens where all the intellectuals were, and all those highly educated of the world didn't know who God was. They had all kind of signs up to all kind of gods, and they had one sign up to the unknown God. They didn't know. And the heathen world out there don't know who God is. You think about it a minute. You see it on TV. You see all these old temples and things, and they got some of the most gross, hideous, ugly-looking faces all over those things. That's what they thought God looked like. I mean, Romans chapter 1 over there tells us that when they knew God, they didn't honor him as God, didn't worship him as God, but they began to make images of him, of four-footed beasts, animals, that sort of thing. Have you seen any of that? Sad truth is today that still goes on. You've been hearing the news here recently. You know that they've been having riots and mobs in the street and people getting killed and places being messed up over in Paris, France. Anybody seeing any of that? He raised taxes. No, that's not what was behind it. He did raise taxes. The president over there did raise taxes on the gas. But you know what the problem is? It's a God problem. Say, what do you mean? I mean, the president of France don't know who God is. The president of France thinks like the heathen did, that he's just a God, the creative God. They mixed up. They think the environment is God. They think Earth, Gaia Earth, is God. So the president over there raised the taxes because he's trying to save planet Earth, and he's raising it for an environmental concern. And the people over there in the streets, I mean, you ought to see the gas was about $7 a gallon, and now when he gets through with the taxes, it'd be about three times that. No wonder they're in the streets, but it's a God problem, you see. Earth is not God. The heathen worshiped the creature more than the creator, Romans talks about. You understand? Listen, I like that sign. You come here, and I've been trying to run you off for a long time on this environmental thing, but if you're brainwashed on it, I want to make you mad. I like that bumper sticker I saw on a car that said, "I spit on your mother today." Amen. Mother Earth, Mother Nature, it's not Mother Nature, it's Father Nature. God's in charge, brother, and God's the God. He's the creator. He's the one. Don't mix him up with the creature. Don't mix him up with the animals. Don't mix him up with the earth. Don't mix him up with anything he created. He is the creator. He is God. And you get wrong on him, you're going to get wrong on a whole pile of other stuff, is what it amounts to. No, Jesus came to reveal God to us. You won't see God, look at Jesus. Who in the world, I mean, the heathen didn't know. They feared their God. The demons and the devils had them fooled, so they're making sacrifices to their God. They're sacrificing the baby to the crocodile. They're over there drinking a milkshake made out of crushed bones of their ancestors. They believe in a God, but they didn't know who he was, what he looked like, or what he thought toward them. You want to know what God thinks? See what Jesus said about it. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He says, he's the one that sent me. Now, let me ask you something. Did Jesus love? Then God loves. Did Jesus have mercy? Then God has mercy. Did Jesus forgive? Then God forgives. Did Jesus have compassion? Did he have compassion on the blind? Did he care about the lame and the sick? Yes, then the Father does. When you see Jesus, you see the Father. So it's something we ought to get a hold of. He came to let us know who God is, what God thinks, who God cares about. And that is a comforting thing when we think about it. He came to reveal who God was. You know, he came to reveal something else. Not only the image of God as gracious and kind and loving and compassionate, but he also came to let us know that man is lost, but thank God, not abandoned. We were lost. We got lost from our father Adam on. I mean, the truth of the matter is all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the wonderful truth is God cared about us while what? Romans 5:8, we were yet sinners. Yet sinners. Yes, we're lost. Yes, we're dead in our trespasses and sin. Yes, we can't save ourselves. But God didn't abandon us, and he sent his son. Think on that just with me a little bit. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says this. Says, for Christ hath once suffered for our sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. The just for the unjust, the sinless one for we that are sinners, suffered for us, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. We ought to ask ourselves the question, where were we before he brought us to God? We're lost. We were hopeless. We had no way to save ourselves, none whatsoever. And we were lost. And you are lost if you haven't come to the Lord Jesus Christ. But you're not abandoned. There's a way open. There's a way to be saved. There's a way to have your sins forgiven. There's a way to have your name written in heaven by having the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know, that's what it is here at Christmas time. Where is the joy that we sing about? Where is the joy of the Lord? Where do we get that from? Because God sent a Savior. We were like marooned on an island with no help, no hope, and a Savior comes. You know what's inferred in the word Savior is? It's outside of us. We can't save ourselves. He came as the rescuer. He came as the Savior. And yeah, that's what our joy is. I mean, we sang all the Christmas carols, and rightfully so, and all of that business, but we got something to be thankful about. And it's not what we're going to get under a tree. It's not the gifts. It's not even the family coming. We ought to be joyful because the Savior came. God sent His only begotten Son. Amen. You know, there's a popular song, and I think Mark Lowry wrote it, and it's been a big hit. It wouldn't be a church hymn, but he sang the song, wrote the song, and it's popular, of course, at Christmas time. Mary, did you know? Did you know what your son's going to turn out to be? And all of that is good, but I want to tell you something. Mary knew more than you might think she knew. Oh, yeah. She knew she was a chosen vessel. I'll prove it to you if you'll go with me in the Bible. Go with me to Luke chapter 1. You're going to hear a lot about Luke 1 and 2 at Christmas time, of course. But go with me over to Luke chapter 2. And, well, I said 1. Let's go to Luke chapter 1. We'll find out a little bit. Mary might have known more than a lot of folks think that she did. She knew a lot at the marriage, at the wedding in Cana. When she asked the Lord to act on the fact that they were without wine at the wedding feast, and she had some things she kept in her heart. But I look in Luke chapter 1, and if you'll pick it up with me at about verse 46 and 47, I believe is where I want to go. Mary now is pregnant with Jesus. She's come to Elizabeth's house, where Elizabeth is pregnant with John the Baptist. And she comes in, and John the Baptist leaps in his mother's womb, and they have a time of fellowshipping together here in Luke chapter 1, and communicating together. And Mary says in verse 46, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." Now I want you to get the next verse, verse 47. "And my spirit hath rejoiced in God." Now what's the next words? "My Savior." I want to tell you something. Mary may have delivered him as a fleshly body grew in her womb, but he had to deliver her soul just like he did mine. He had to forgive his mom's sins just like he did mine. She called him her Savior just like I called him my Savior. Get a hold of that. Mary knew a lot. God used her as a chosen vessel. A lot of religions teach a lot of false things about Mary. Mary was a chosen vessel of God, and yet Jesus was her Savior. And I'm saying to you today, we got a rejoicing time at Christmas. We're happy about it because God sent us a Savior. And without a Savior, you can't save yourself. It's outside of you. The Bible tells us there's none righteous, no, not one. Nothing we can offer. Jesus said, "What shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" We have nothing to give in exchange for our soul. We have no payment to make of our own. So as we exchange gifts at Christmas time, and as we rejoice with family and all of that, the biggest thing to be happy over is the gift from heaven, the unspeakable gift Jesus Christ sent as a Savior to all mankind. I'm glad that He came to reveal God to us. I know more about God because I know more about Jesus. Jesus, Hebrews 10:5 tells us that He had a body prepared. I'm just want to say this. I'm going to open this can of worms some other time. Everybody says, and probably so, we don't know exactly when Jesus was born. But I want to tell you, the miracle was not His birth. The miracle happened at His conception. The miracle happened when the angel came to Mary and told her she was going to be overshadowed by God. And that's the miracle. After that, all he had to do was have a normal birth, 9 months, like any other baby. And you can kind of guess about that if you want to. My personal guess is that he was conceived closer to December the 25th. And born 9 months later in a natural birth. And we said, it's okay, whatever date they picked, it's okay. I'm glad the world has to recognize that Jesus was born. I'm glad for the testimony worldwide, and they can't get away from it. I know there's an attack on Christmas every year, the anti-God crowd. There's a crowd that'll worship the Christmas tree, they'll worship the commercialism of Christmas, but they miss the biggest thing. He was God's Son that was given to be a Savior. And the sad truth is they miss the main thing when they miss that part. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of stuff. One of the interesting things, many of the merchants that make money off of Christmas don't even believe in Jesus as the Messiah to start with. That's sad, but it's true. You and I better get it right. It's more than tinsel. It's more than bright lights. It's more than decorations. It's Jesus Christ, the Savior, without whom we would be lost and die in our sins. He came to reveal God to us. He came to let us know that man is lost, but thank God, not abandoned, not abandoned. But then I want to say this, he came to destroy the works of the devil. I look over in John chapter 3, verse 8 over there, and it tells us over there, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. He was revealed. He was made open. He was manifested. The purpose, the reason for the season is Jesus. Yes, the purpose, he was manifested. And here's what it says, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Do you know what the works of the devil are? It's the news you read most of the time. It's the crime. It's the bad things that happen. I mean, the devil is inspired and he caused our mother in the garden to fall into sin when he deceived her back there. And yes, a lot of folks want to blame God for the things that God tells us the devil is the author of. Do you know the devil is under God's power? I understand that. But do you realize the Bible says he has the power of death? You know, when you read cartoons or you read books sometimes, you read where the devil is depicted as a skeleton riding a horse with a big axe or sword or something in his hand. And there's a little truth to that. Some of those pictures came from medieval times. I understand that. I'm reading right now in Hebrews again. If you still got it open there, look into chapter 2 and look at verse 14 with me. Says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. Now get the point, the children, human beings. For as much then as children are partakers of flesh and blood. That's what I am this morning. That's what you are, your flesh and blood. We're still alive here in these old earthly bodies. And we are partakers of flesh and blood. He, talking about Jesus, also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. Who has the power of death? That is the devil. You know, he came before God and he wanted to tempt Job, and God had to tell him, you can do this, this, and this, but you can't kill him. He had to stop the devil from killing Job at that point. He has the power of death when God allows him to use it. If you're talking about this flesh and blood thing, the children, human beings, if you turn over while we're in Hebrews, so much in Hebrews, go over to chapter 10. Chapter 10 of Hebrews, pick it up in verse 5. Again, talking about this thing. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, talking about Jesus, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. But get the last line now, verse 5, Hebrews 10. But a body hast thou prepared me. As we sang about the babe in the manger, just remember that's the body that was prepared for it. The miracle was that it was of God, that it was not the seed of man, but the seed of the woman. That was predicted in Genesis chapter 3, the seed of the woman. Prepared a body. Jesus was going to come and get in that body. He was going to be born in a manger. He was going to live up to all the prophecies about him. And then one day he was going to lay his life down on the cross, die for our sins. He was going to be raised again for our justification. And the whole thing of Christmas, as the young folks were singing a while ago, yes, he came in a manger, but he came to be the way of eternal life. And he is the only way. He said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. As we rejoice at Christmas time, no greater thing to rejoice over than that a Savior was born. That's what the angel said to the shepherds on the hillside. This day in the city of David, a Savior would be born. That's the real Christmas story. A whole world will celebrate Christmas. Sadly, a whole world will not understand what the real meaning and joy and victory of Christmas is. He came to destroy the works of the devil. Yes, He did defeat Satan. He bruised his head on the cross of Calvary. He's going to bruise it one day finally when he comes back. You see, the incarnation was necessary. He had to become part of us. I was thinking this week, I remember, I don't know how they got in my car, but some bite mosquitoes got in my car. And one of them got me before I realized they were in there. And I done what you do. I called the environmental crowd and said, come take care of these mosquitoes. Is that what you do? I slapped the fire out of them. Say, how you know one bit you? Because he left a stain when I crushed him against the windshield. Amen. A red stain. You know what? Then I got to thinking about that. I wonder how I could communicate to those mosquitoes that I don't like them. I wonder how I could communicate to them, stay out of my car. I'd have to become a mosquito to talk to them, wouldn't I? Huh? Now, I think they got the message because the other one was, he was going fast when I missed him. But the truth is, God became a man. He came down to where he could communicate, where he could talk with us. I can't join the insect world or the animal world. I can't become one of them to communicate with them like, but he became a man. He came into our world, this old sin-cursed world, to talk to us, to tell us. And he came to be a savior, to take us out of it, to redeem us, buy us back from where we have fallen. So the Christmas story, the wonderful truth of the gospel and why he came is a wonderful truth for us. Please, as you celebrate with your family and as you celebrate with your kids, don't let them miss the real thing. Christmas was a big thing in our home when I was growing up, but I did not understand the real truth. I had loving parents, moral parents, but they didn't teach me the real truth about Jesus. I believed in Santa Claus a lot longer than I should have. And I enjoyed the things I got for Christmas. I enjoyed the love that was behind it with my family. But there's one big thing that's missing if you don't tell them about Jesus. Why he came. He came to be our Savior. Amen. To destroy the works of the devil. To defeat the devil. And he came also to save his people from their sins. Matthew 1:21, isn't that what he says? Born this day in the city of David, a Savior, Christ the Lord. Wonderful truth. He came to save his people from their sins. Not in their sins, but from their sins. You know, a wonderful truth is that Jesus became sin for us, pay a price we couldn't pay, die in our stead, to be our Savior, that our name might be written in heaven, the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the Christmas story. That's the big reason behind it all. And right now, he saves you if you'll let him from the penalty of sin. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says. That's not only death number one, that's death number two. That's not only physical body death, that's soul death. That's eternal, everlasting death in the pit of fire. I want to tell you, he came to save us from the penalty of sin. And I'm glad of that. There's an awful penalty on it. The wages of sin is death with all the ramifications that we could describe concerning death. But I want to tell you, one day he's coming to save us from the presence of sin. Not just the penalty, but the presence. You know, we're in the presence of sin today. That's why you can drive by and see the hospital. That's why you can drive by and see the police station. That's why you can recognize as you read the paper, murder, various things that we know are evil things are happening. Why? We're still in the presence of sin. Right. Now, I want to tell you, there's sometimes we almost are trapped in it. You may be sometime in a room with a crowd you don't want to be with very long. I want to tell you, you die lost, you're going to be with them through eternity. Right? Right? The Bible speaks of it being an awful place. Not only a pit of fire, but a place of wailing and a gnashing of teeth. Story, and you hear these stories. Story of a man that was in Europe, thought he was healthy, business trip. All of a sudden during the night, he started having stomach pains. They rushed him to one of the hospitals and something burst inside, and before they knew it, they were losing him, and he was dying. And his story, just a businessman, he was there for to meet with the crowd and to have a few drinks and to do some business. He had no idea about meeting God, but he said in that hospital room, as he went out, he heard noises, voices at the door. And he said, all of a sudden, I was out of the bed and I was in the hall. And he said, there was a crowd gnawing on me, clawing me, trying to drag me out of the building. He said it was the most awful thing. He said they were hurting me and pulling on me and gnawing. And I thought about the verse in the Bible about the gnashing of teeth. And he said, I started crying out. And he said, I'd gone to Sunday school as a kid, and I started crying out what I learned in Sunday school. I started crying out to Jesus. And he said, all of a sudden, I was back in my bed, and they were working on me. And they pulled him through. But listen, it was so real. You say, oh, what a dream. Uh-huh. But he didn't believe it was a dream. He believed he was almost gone with that crowd that he didn't want to spend eternity with. He not only got saved because of that experience, he became a preacher and tells the story over and over again. It made a difference. It was real to him. Real to him. I don't know what happens sometime. Dr. Lee's in the hospital right now with his foot surgery. I was up there visiting with him the other night, and he was telling me when they'd worked on his heart that they thought they lost him for a little bit. And he said, I went down that traditional tunnel. He said, I saw a bright light, but I heard the voices of the doctors calling me, talking to me. And he said, I came back. Now, you talk to him when he gets out of the hospital. He'll tell you about it. One of our deacons, Brother Wallace Roberts, his grandkids up here singing a while ago. Wallace died with cancer. They told him he had 6 months when they opened him up, just a young man. He died in 5 months. But he told me the story, and my wife was there and heard it. He said, when they opened me up, before they sewed me up and told me there was no hope, he said, when they opened me up, he said, I went down to the gate, and they told me at the gate, go back, we're not quite ready for you yet. You say, well, it's wonderful dreams. Okay, he knew the Lord. He went back in less than 6 months, and they let him in the gate. I'm just telling you something, folks. The wonderful, wonderful truth is one day I'm going to be I've been delivered from the penalty of sin. When I received Christ, he paid for every sin I'd ever committed, every bad thought I ever had, every wrong thing I ever done. He paid for it all. In the past, he paid for the future as well as right now. It's all paid for. All of it canceled out, paid with the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what I have now. I'm free of the penalty of sin. One day I'll be free of the presence of sin. There's a lot of stuff here I don't like to be around. I'll never have to be around that in eternity. There's some people here I don't want to be around. I won't have to be around them in eternity. They're going one place. I'm going another place because of Jesus. One day I'm going to be saved from the presence of sin. Anything here bug you? Some of you folks that used to smoke don't smoke anymore. Now smoke bothers you? Won't be none if you're saved. You're getting away from that. Huh? Well, I used to drink, preacher, but now I can't stand around to be around a drunk. Then don't go to hell with them. They'll be there. They won't be satisfied in their thirst either. The truth of the matter is, one day in Jesus, he's a savior from it all. He came to reveal how gracious God is. What a compassionate God, a God of love. But he came to let us know, yes, we're lost, but we're not abandoned. And yes, he came to destroy the works of the devil. And one day, he's going to let us see the victory that we have in him. Wow. One day we'll be away from the presence of sin. You know, I read in Revelation 21. I'd read it to you if I had time, but you'd read it in Revelation 21. The words are hard to pronounce because it's describing how the city is built. All those stones, the Japheth stone, all the Beryl, all those things that we could name. But the big thing, Revelation 21, beginning about 18, it finally winds up and says, there'll be nothing in there that defiles. No defilement. A lot of defilement down here. Nothing there. that will defile. I think about country church I pastored. There was a young lady in the church. She had all the Sunday school pins for faithfulness. She was a good lady. She had a young, I was there when she graduated. She's many years since then, but she had a grandpa. He never had the opportunity to go to school. He had no education. He couldn't read. He couldn't write. He was a good man, hardworking old country boy like many of them are. He was on his deathbed for a long time. They didn't have him in a nursing home, didn't have any money and all that stuff that took. But they had him in home where he died. And he'd gotten saved, and his daughter would sit and read the Bible some to him. And one night as he passed away, here's what the daughter told me. And I'm turning over where I told you I didn't have time to go, Revelation 18. I'm turning over there. She said, I sat by his bedside that night, and he slipped on out into eternity. But she said, I want to tell you something miraculous, preacher. She said, as he started to go, said he started talking, I could understand what he was saying. She said, he started describing what he was seeing, and he was describing what I know to be in Revelation 21, 18, as it describes the holy city that he was seeing. Now, I want you to get some. I'm going to try to read a few of these words, and I can't hardly read them. I can't hardly read them. I have to work on them to read them. And some of them you can, but some of them pretty hard. You look at them with me now. She said, my grandpa had no education. He could not read. He could not write. She said, but he was quoting right out of Revelation 18, the description of the holy city. I'm looking in verse 18. I'll get there in a minute. Revelation 21. Pick it up with me, verse 18. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper. And the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper. The second, sapphire. The third, chalcedony. The fourth, an emerald. The fifth, a sardonyx. The sixth, a sardonyx. The seventh, chrysolite. The eighth, beryl. The ninth, topaz. The tenth, chrysophorus. I can't say it. The 11th, japheth. And the 12th, an amnis. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Now, you might can read that better, but think about a man with no education. Couldn't read the Bible, but he could call it out. Amen. And his daughter recognized the book of Revelation word for word, what he was seeing. Oh, yes, it's real. There's another side. And in that side, if you keep on reading over there, it's going to say nothing could enter in that defiled. There's a perfect place because a perfect Savior came and died for us and paid for our sins and gives you and I the choice to believe on Him and go to heaven instead of hell. Christmas can't get any more basic than that. Can't get any more important than why He came. Why He came? Reveal God, yes. To yes, let us know we're lost, but yes, not abandoned. Thank God He came to die for us to be our Savior. And the victory is going to pull us out of a sin-cursed world into a place of perfection, out of the very presence of sin. What kind of gift you going to receive at Christmas? I don't know. Maybe somebody spent a bunch of money on you. Nobody paid a price that Jesus paid for your soul. Nobody. And He offers you that gift of eternal life, and He offers it to you free to you at the great price He paid, if you'll accept Him as Lord and Savior. I want to say, please think about it. If somebody gives you a gift, or you give somebody a gift, I want you to think about the greatest gift. A Savior was born. A Savior came. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to save your soul and take you from an old sin-cursed world in His very sinless presence into a city of no defilement. That's what you have if you have Jesus. If you don't have him, you can't get there by yourself. He wants to be your Savior this morning. Will you let him? I pray you will. Let's bow our heads. While our heads are bowed, I'm going to ask you this question. Can you say, "Preacher, I knew what you're talking about. I've experienced the fact that he is my Savior. And if I died today, I'd go to heaven, not because of me, but because of him. Not my goodness, but his goodness." Do you know him as Savior? Can you say so by the uplifted hand this morning? Can you say, "He's my Savior. If I died today, I'd go to heaven"? Thank you, so many hands. Are you here today and you'd say, "Preacher, when you pray, think about me. I couldn't lift my hand and be honest with God. I'm not sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know." I'll tell you, no better time to get saved than now. Even at Christmas time, what a wonderful time to accept God's gift. Would you do it this morning? I pray you will. Let's stand, please. Father, we commit this congregation to you in prayer. Lord, there's a warfare going on in a lot of hearts and souls. Father, there's a struggle between you and the devil over every soul. Father, you won't make somebody walk the aisle. You won't make a robot out of them. You give them a free choice. You give them a will to choose you. I pray this morning that they will, that they'll receive the Lord Jesus, the gift of eternal life. Father, I thank you that you gave your son. Lord, I had no hope without him. I know of no one that has any hope unless they have Jesus. I pray you'd bless the invitation today. I pray as we sing an invitation song, that we, as we invite men, women to come and receive Christ, that your spirit would speak and draw and do what the preacher can't do, that your word would sink deep in the hearts and they'd come and receive your gift of eternal life. We commit it to you. We ask your best in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. I'm going to step to the front. If you'll come receive Christ, will you meet me here? I pray you will. Will you come as we sing?
Just as